Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Betsy Woodruff of National Review is in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Betsy, it's great to have you back.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for our listeners, as always. And sometimes, you know, we stretch to find a good martini, kind of a silver lining sometimes in the bad stories. Today, I think we're just applauding the House of Representatives for passing the legislation sponsored by Georgia Republican Tom Price that would basically block the IRS from being the enforcement mechanism for Obamacare. This legislation was launched in the wake of the IRS investigator report on the Tea Party scrutiny from back in 2010 and beyond. It's going to pass the House. It's probably going to die after that. But I think this is certainly one of those things that not only conservatives can get behind, Betsy, but probably the bulk of the American people after this scandal as well.
Right, right. And that's kind of the theme for this week in the House of Representatives. I think the hashtag that the leadership comms directors are using on Twitter is a stop government abuse. And basically, it's a week of passing messaging bills that are intended to communicate to kind of your average voter that, you know, in this last hurrah before August recess, House Republicans are really looking to try to curb in some of the overreaches of federal power that have been, you know, been highlighted in the last few months. So, yeah, the, you know, Representative Price's bill is probably DOA, but it's definitely helpful in terms of communicating that message.
In terms of resonating with the American people, if the American people are following this, do you think this bill has a little more cachet, or do you think the delays in the mandates that they passed several days ago have more?
You know, hard to say. I think just the fact that it involves the IRS means it's a little bit more headline grabbing, maybe. It's very easy to, you know, to tweet about. Communicating about what this, how this legislation works is very simple, whereas delaying the mandate takes maybe a little bit more involvement. And, you know, the other question is how many Americans, you know, average sort of low information voters are fairly familiar with the way these mandates work. But I think everybody understands that the IRS is maybe not their favorite bureaucracy and that keeping it out of healthcare is something that sounds like a decent idea.
Well, we'll find out. On to martini number two now. And Betsy, stop me if you've heard this headline before. Republicans frustrated by John McCain. This goes back a long time. McCain-Feingold, he was a big part of the big tobacco attempt at a settlement. He was part of early health care reform efforts. He did not support Obamacare, we should point out. Lately, he's been ruffling feathers, of course, by his ongoing support of the Gang of Eight immigration bill. And he wants to see something pretty similar passed out of the House. He's already talking about removing some of the border security provisions that did end up in the Senate bill. And in probably the most infuriating way for a lot of conservatives, when asked by the New Republic who he would support between Hillary Clinton and Rand Paul in 2016, he says he's not sure, because, of course, Rand Paul is one of the wacko birds. Betsy, I know Republicans have kind of got a hate-love-hate relationship with John McCain, but where do you think he stands with the movement after some of his latest exploits?
I think the conservative grassroots has never been super enamored with McCain, and perhaps when it comes to his comment on Clinton versus Rand Paul, it's really interesting in terms of just highlighting some fissures in the conservative movement. You have this, you know, libertarian, you know, wacko bird, that's the term that McCain uses. Royal Labrador refers to the wingnut coalition to refer to conservatives and progressives who are concerned about the NSA. And I think McCain is sort of interestingly becoming kind of a figurehead for the conservatives who are more focused perhaps on, you know, foreign policy, national defense, than they are on civil liberties, Fourth Amendment stuff. So I think increasingly what we're seeing is that the grassroots is a little bit more allied with the Rand Paul contingent than the John McCain contingent. So I guess the question is, what do your Arizona off-year Senate voters think? I think for right now, McCain's definitely not doing himself favors with the grassroots, but he never really has operated that way. So It shouldn't be a huge surprise.
He would be up again in 2016. He'd be 80 years old. He made rumblings back in the primary in 2010 when he was running against J.D. Hayward that he probably wouldn't seek another term after this one, and he's making rumblings of that again. But if he does decide to run, could be an interesting primary. 2008 seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It's funny.
On to the third and final martini now today, Betsy, and we're talking about a Democratic sex scandal once again. We spent most of our time in that department on Anthony Weiner in the past week or so, but Bob Filner, the former Democratic congressman from California, current San Diego mayor, is certainly in that category as well. A number of women have accused him of sexual harassment. I think 8 is the latest number. One of them is actually suing him over it, and as a result of those legal fees, Mayor Filner, who refuses to leave office and is instead going through 2 weeks of intensive therapy, is asking the city council and the city taxpayers really to pay for any legal fees that he incurs. The city has already rejected this unanimously through the council, but Filner's attorney says that it's really appropriate for the city to pay through this because Bob Filner, who is 70 years old, was not provided sexual harassment training by the city prior to taking office. So as a professional woman, I'm sure this excuse by Filner's attorney makes a tremendous amount of sense to you.
Very compelling. You know, I hope somebody's making a Lifetime movie about this guy because it's really just unbelievable. Like, you can't make this up. And the fact that his attorney would say, well, you know, he didn't know that you can't grope women. If only he had a class, then he wouldn't have. It's highly amusing. I'm not really sure what his end game is here, what he's hoping to accomplish. But, you know, it makes for some interesting headlines.
It's almost ripped from a Seinfeld episode. I don't know how much of a Seinfeld fan you were, but there was an episode where George Costanza got caught being involved with the cleaning woman at his office. And when he was called on it and fired by his boss, his response was that wrong? Was that against the rules? If somebody had just told me, then perhaps this whole sad situation could have been avoided. But in the real world with folks like Bob Filner, and from what we're hearing on the Hill, I don't know what you've heard specifically, Betsy. It sounds like he was pretty much this way in Congress as well.
I haven't heard anything specific on that, but it makes sense. I mean, you're age 70 and you think it's appropriate to do some of the stuff he's been doing. I doubt this is any new habit that he picked up in the last year or so.
Certainly tragic. There's obviously a lot of jokes around stories like this, but this really is a troubling behavior. And the fact that he can't even see fit to leave office and do the people of San Diego a favor on his way out is troubling, and on top of everything else. Betsy, always great to have you. Thanks for filling in today.
Thanks for having me.
Betsy Woodruff of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks very much for being with us today. And please be sure to tune in on Friday for the very next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.